last week, we began a new series entitled this powerful word called calm. And don't we need calm like never before? We're living in some very strange days that's trying to rattle us and trying to steal our peace and our calm. But today, I want to look at this aspect that in calm is found the power of wisdom. And you've heard this before. Let's be calm, cool, and collect. We want to be calm, cool, and collect. And in life, when we think about people that we've known over the years, it's not always the real demonstrative personalities that settle us. But it's so nice when people come and you just sense they have peace inside their spirit. They bring a calm to the situation. And I know all of us are uniquely made and designed, and we bring certain elements that are needed. But how thankful are we for those that allow the calmness of God to manifest in their soul and to bless others that are around them? The wisdom of calm. A question I wanted to ask you this morning is this: where would you be without wisdom? Where would you be without wisdom? And I don't want to be ugly today, but where have you been without wisdom, right? But yeah, but wisdom is such a gift from God. And to be able to process it, we need to be able to understand calm. See, a common call of wisdom is these two words: be careful. Be careful. You ever been determined that you're getting ready to do something? And I don't know if it was mama or a good friend or the Holy Spirit that just rose up in you and says, you better what? Be careful. And when you're all tense and you're all fired up, those words about being careful aren't always processed properly. But when calm is there, we're truly able to listen. See, God uses the power of calm to help us follow the call of wisdom. We all know the times where we haven't kept our cool and we weren't collected. We didn't collect ourselves very well. We let ourselves run all over the place. And we did not allow calm to manifest. And so when wisdom called, we weren't even what? Listening. We weren't even listening. When we are calm, we think with greater clarity. You know, when anxiety raises its ugly head in us, it doesn't make for clear thought. Wisdom is understood with greater fullness when our hearts are, and let's say that word together, calm. Man, that's a powerful, powerful word and a powerful reality in our lives. Many people, when they are missing calm, will seek other sources to make them calm. But those sources amplify the problem. They don't make the problem better. But the calming presence of God comes in and settles us with clarity of mind, clearness of mind, and ability to hear the call of wisdom that sometimes will tell us, be careful. What voices has God used in your life to warn you to be careful? We know mama, right? Daddy. A good friend that maybe saw something in our decision making that warned us, you know, you need to rethink that, and you need to be careful about your steps. But nothing is like the Holy Spirit checking our motives and checking our emotions in that settling, still, small voice that says, be careful. You know it. You're right on the edge of saying it. And you want to say it with all that is in you. You want to just lay it out there plain and clear with great expression. And in the Spirit, be calm. But I don't want to be calm. Be calm. Be careful. Today I want to talk about a situation that is described in the book of Isaiah. About when Isaiah was called to bring the calm to a very difficult situation. Isaiah's calming call. Ahaz, the king of Judah, was facing a dilemma. Now we know this, that there was a separation between Judah and Israel. They split into two nations. God's nation rebelled to a point where it split and it divided in two. And Ahaz led the kingdom of Judah. And he was under great distress because the king of Israel and also the king of Syria said, "We're coming after you, Ahaz. We're going to destroy you." And that was a real problem because these two forces were mighty and very mighty together. And at that point, just like any of us, when we know there's intention to destroy our lives, we ramp up in our emotions and our calm is challenged. And this is what we see in this description. Pekah, the king of Israel, and Rezin, the king of Syria, were coming after Ahaz, and he was a king in distress. These allies of affliction were teaming up to destroy him. And let's look at Isaiah chapter 7, starting with verse 2. This is the fruit of when calm is being exited because of a real dilemma here. The heart of Ahaz and the heart of his people shook as the trees of the forest shake before the wind. The plan was already laid out. It was no longer hidden. It was public. It was clear. And he knew that these forces were so great, they could wipe them out without it being much of a problem for those two allies. And distress came upon him. Distress came upon the country. And we see these images. The heart was overwhelmed. The center of the stability, the place where God rules and seeks to place a calm and a hope in us, it was challenged. The words like shook or shake described where they were at. And it wasn't just something in the emotion, but it covered every aspect of who they were. And the description here is they shook as the trees of the forest shake before the wind. We've seen it just this week. There was a heavy windstorm. And when I drive down certain roads in Columbia, these old oak trees, when I drive, I'm Mr. Be Careful. And I think, is that going to make that limb come down? You know, you got to have peace too, right? But here, when the wind rolls in and affects the environment, we don't have control over what wind comes towards us. We don't have control over the storms that choose to rage against us. We don't. Just like Ahaz, he did not have choice about these kings coming to destroy him. And this is what I want to encourage you about today. The storms that will come at you, you didn't ask for. You did not ask for. Now, certain situations, we can set ourselves up for raging winds to come. We sure can. But sometimes in life, things just come out of the blue. I would say like COVID. Just boom. But here's the thing. No matter what storm rages at your heart, God is able to maintain the calm and the peace. He is bigger than any wind that would war and rage against us. Isaiah delivers God's word to Ahaz, the king of Judah. And Isaiah walks in with the voice of wisdom, because why did he have the voice of wisdom? Because he was attuned to God. Here was this vessel that God chose to bring peace to the king and peace to the people. And he responded when God called him to go before the king. And we look at verse 4 now. Say to him, Isaiah, this is what you say to Ahaz. Say to him, be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid. Have you been there? When the enemy's really big and the calamity's really big and someone says, calm down, settle, and then the word comes, you are not where I'm at, buddy. You're not in my shoes right now. It's easy for you to say that. But you know what? That's no excuse to the words of wisdom. Ordained words by God given through the prophet Isaiah, be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid. Do not lose heart because, and I love this, because of these two smoldering stubs of firewood. You ever heard the term firebrands or firebrand? That's what that's describing. In older translations or certain translations, it will use that term firebrand. Well, what he's saying is they rage, they smolder, but they're no problem for God. They're like two pieces of coal that are sitting there still, have some flame within, smoldering. They're trying to make you feel as if they're greater than me, and they're not. And he brings the clarity to a king that is losing his calm and his peace because he knows the size of that enemy. And then the word of the Lord speaks, do not lose heart, Ahaz. Because of these two smoldering stubs of firewood, because of the fierce anger of Rezin and Aram and the sons of Remaliah. Don't worry about them. Don't let them take your peace. Don't let them take your calm. There is no foe greater than God in our lives. There is no enemy that wars against us that can remove us from the hand of God. Even if that enemy means our death, it cannot separate us from the beauty of why God created us. It cannot. It cannot. Nothing. Verse 5. Because Syria with Ephraim and the son of Remaliah has devised evil against you. So again, these are two kings. Syrian king, the king of Israel, that broke away and divided into two nations. And here Ahaz stands as the king of Judah, which is seen as the remnant of God, the capital of Jerusalem. In fact, this is the remnant where Jesus is going to come through. And all hell is coming against Jesus, even in this story. And as we continue over the weeks ahead, we'll see that clear. And so when we bring that into our personal life, the same warfare that was going on for the heart of Ahaz is set up against us, because the goal is to remove our Messiah from us. That's what the goal is. And storms that come have an intention that many times is cloaked, but at the very heart of the spirit is to separate us from putting our trust in the only Messiah that this earth has. And his name is Jesus. So see, the intentions are ancient, but they're contemporary. To bring fear, to remove our calm, and to be fearful against us, to seed fear and doubt. And then verse 6, let us go up, and this again, this is their plans, the plans of the allies of destruction. Let us go up against Judah and what? Terrify it. Let them be rattled, not only by the words or the threat of our coming, but we're going to what? We're going to show up. And we've been there. We've had fears, right, in our lives. We've had wonders and things that we said, oh, don't let it happen. Don't let it happen. Don't let it happen. Then all of a sudden, what? It happens. And then we're in a real trying position, because what was worry at one point becomes a reality in our lives. And then we're brought to this place, is God really here for me? And guess what? He is. He is. Even threat, when the threat begins to get on the horses and draw their swords and rush in, it doesn't change the fact that our deliverer is faithful and will guard us. Isn't that good? Don't worry. Don't worry. Right now, everybody is making all kinds of statements about what's going to happen in this country. Right? In the whole scheme of things, anything that happens will not change the destiny of why God created us. And in fact, what is possibly coming might be the reason why God, one of the main reasons God put us here. And it's going to be all right. Don't fret. Be calm. Let's go up against Judah and terrify it. Let us conquer it for ourselves and set up the son of Tabeel as king in the midst of it. Now, there's a lot to unpack there, and we'll talk more about it in the weeks ahead. But here's the motive. Satan sees you as his dominion and his domain. He looks at you and he sees you as what he wants to conquer. And when he looks at you, he does not want the foundation and the establishment of Christ's authority and his kingdom being set up in your heart. He hates it, in fact. So when he looks at you, he has a strategy, much like this strategy. We're going to terrify it. We're going to say your foundation in God is not going to hold you. We're going to bring so much against you that you're no longer going to trust in God. In fact, we're not only going to terrify you, but we're going to come in and conquer it for what? Our motives. And we know this about Satan's motives. He's a robber. He steals, he kills, and he destroys. And if we give way to what his will is, we willfully allow him to steal from us, to kill, and to destroy us. And in doing that, he wants to make it sometimes a long journey. And so we see here, and set up the son of Tabeel as king in the midst of it. Meaning, we're going to put our authority over Judah. In fact, the city of God is going to be our city. And we're going to set up this puppet king to rule it. And that's what Ahaz All of these things were warring in his spirit. But see, that's what the enemy wants to do to us as believers. He wants his territory back. And he wants to set up a ruler over us that is in the liking of Tabeel. And you know who that ruler is? Many times, it's our fallen nature returning to take up establishment. And sometimes we'll even call that fallen nature Jesus when it is not Jesus. Because that which walks in discord to the Word of God is not of the Spirit of God. And so would Tabeel have had the cloaks and the crown of Judah upon him? Yeah, I think he would. But it would all be false. It would not be real. Let's terrify it. Let's conquer it. Let's set up Tabeel as king. And then here the Lord comes in with the call of calm, the wisdom of calm from the Word of God, the Word of God through the apostle, the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord God. Do we still have that today? You got the word, right? You got the word? You don't have to wait for some prophet to come around. I mean, thank God there's still ministries of prophecy and things that happen in the church, but it's all tested by the word of God anyway, right? So here, thus says the Lord God, it shall not stand. And it shall not come to pass. Can you see? Yes. Who said that? God. It shall not stand and it shall not come to pass. So Ahaz. My mom used to love to say this. Cool your jets. Chill out. Relax. It's going to be okay. Now, I know this is what I'm thinking. I don't know if this is what you're thinking. Sometimes the enemy comes in and destruction comes. But then we hearken back to this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They stood in the word of God. We're not going to bow to that idol. We're not going to do it. If you want to put us in the fiery furnace, God is able to deliver us. But you know what? Even if he doesn't, he's still God. And we go from the fire to the glory. Amen. And then Stephen, serving God with all of his heart, spreading the gospel. A man of great integrity and wisdom. A man of great calm. And the stones still flew against him and took his life. But his life would not have been removed unless God was ready for Stephen to enter the glory. And in our lives, there's going to be some ugly things that are going to align itself against us. And you know what's scary is it's one thing. But when multiple powers stand against us, it gets a little scary, doesn't it? And here is a word for us as the Church of Jesus Christ. What we have trusted in throughout the years may one day turn to be the forces that will war against our existence. We have been so blessed to be in a land where the governance guarded us and gave us liberty to continue to worship God without much hassle. Isn't that nice? And we've liked that very much. But that day might totally flip and change. And it might be multiple sources that come against our purpose and our existence. What's that going to do to us then? And I promise you this, no matter the alliances of evil that will come against the church, God will always have a remnant that will stand. And then I want to say this. Right now is a really strange time in the church. You have people of like faith, same faith, viewing things in opposite manner. So you have divisiveness within the church. The Bible is very clear about division in the church and factions in the church. You know where he says that flows from? The work or the works of the flesh. So we have to stay very attentive to that. But also I want to remind you of this. When within forces arise that are divided, that pair with other alliances to bring a purpose that seems right to a heart, when all along that is not the will of God, when those pour in against us in alliances, we will still survive and we will still stand, because we stand not in the hope of the power of what we've trusted in the past, but we stand in the hope and in the power of God. So I'm saying all that to say this. Things may radically change and change quickly. But we don't have to fear. We don't have to fear that forces at war against us will conquer the plans and the purposes of God. It will not happen. Thus says the Lord God, it shall not stand. And it shall not come to pass. Now, look at this for a minute. It's not going to stand. It will not come to pass. What was the goal that we laid out in the description of Tobil? To conquer the heart that trusts in the Messiah. Okay, now I'm talking about bringing it to application today. Satan hates that you have the Holy Spirit alive in you. Satan hates that not only do you say Jesus is Lord, but you walk as Jesus is your Lord. He hates it. And he is setting forth alliances to try to rob the heart that trusts in Christ and set up his authority. But it isn't going to happen. In the ones that continue to be careful and to trust in God. You don't have to fear. In fact, I believe this, Drayson, with all my heart. I believe we're going to see examples of faith like we've never seen with our eyes before. I think we might even be in a place where one day we may see our brothers or sisters martyred. And our hearts will be saddened and will be saddened, but we will rejoice in knowing their destination. That's the kind of faith that God is arising in these days. And I don't want to build as my king. I don't want a false authority leading me. God's been so gracious to our nation, but things might be getting ready to change. And then we look at this, back at verse 4. Isaiah say to him, be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid. Do not lose heart because of these two smoldering stubs of firewood. Be calm. The wisdom of being calm. Be careful. Be careful of what? Be careful how you view your enemy. King Ahaz, be guarded. You've looked at the reports of your probably spies that have gone out. You've looked at the inventory of these nations. And in your heart, you are getting fearful. You're building your enemy greater than he is. And without the hope of God alive in us, we walk totally in darkness. Now, were these nations great and mighty? Yes. And in their minds, whatever we will do. But they didn't realize who they were really coming against. even though one of those nations was called Israel. But the remnant in Judah, who one day would be described the Messiah as the Lion of Judah, was going to prevail. Be careful how you view your enemy. The enemy always wants to puff up and look greater than he is. I saw this interesting video the other day. When we went to Arizona, I saw, for the first time in my life, I saw a true, real road runner. I did, you know, and it didn't go beep, beep. I saw a real road runner, and that thing was, man, they're quick. Just, I think they like walking more than flying. And they're pretty impressive looking birds, not as cool as the cartoon, but I saw it, and I thought, man, that is really neat to see that bird. And then this video I saw was, what got my attention, it was Roadrunner versus Rattlesnake. I'm like, you kidding me? A Roadrunner's going to go after a rattlesnake? And yeah, I guess that's part of their lunch at times. And this Roadrunner, some road crew that was out videotaped this struggle that went on. But this Roadrunner was persistent that rattlesnake was going to be on his menu for lunch. And that Roadrunner, as it went around and started, and that thing was striking at it and it was moving, what did that Roadrunner do? All of a sudden, what looked kind of medium size, he would put out his wings and he would start doing this. And he was puffing himself up to show that snake, I'm bigger than you, and I'm quicker than you. And he ended up making that his lunch. That is a strategy of the enemy, is to build himself up greater than what he is. And that will always be the strategy of Satan against us, to make us fear him more than we should. You know, if there's anyone here that battles with anxiety or battles with even panic attacks, that's a real, real thing, and it is expanding to more hearts in our day. And it's something now and then at night I'll wake up, and when I wake up there's like this panic that is just like just flowing all over me. And last night was one of those nights where anxiety visited me, and it didn't flow out of a dream. It just woke me up. And then when I woke up, there was this fear that felt as if it was just pouring out over me in panic. And even at the point where you feel like you're about to lose your mind, it's not a good feeling. And what it was, with no doubt, the enemy puffing himself up to say, I'm bigger than you. You need to fear me. You need to be concerned because I'm coming for you. You need to understand that you're nothing. I have you, boy. I have you. And then I'm thinking, Lord, I know who's really got me. And then in my heart, when that kind of anxiety comes, it is as if Satan is writing on the tablet of your heart in big, bold letters, fear. And then God reminds me, I am not the author of fear. So I'm not. I am not the author of fear. So the one that is writing that upon your heart is not me. And it is the father of lies. It is Satan that is seeking to will his authority upon the throne of your heart. He's seeking to build in you. And then crying out simple words, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, establish your peace and your calm within me. And you know what? This is what happened. I'm like, Lord, I still feel it. But then when those words are called out, there's a settling that comes. Is it still hyper? Yeah. But then I laid my head down, and the sweet rest of God came. I woke up, and guess what? Joy came in the morning. Joy came in the morning. But I really feel that in times like that, that is where the enemy is puffing himself up, showing his authority. Because he does have authority, but not over the heart of those that trust in Christ. And then this other call to be careful. How do you view your circumstances? Be careful how you view your circumstances. Because when we look at all that life has brought to us, there's a lot of stuff in life that we didn't want, but it showed up anyway, right? And those things that we don't want become still the order that we have to sort through. And if we fixate on all of the negative things that have happened to us, we will become people of hopelessness and doubt. I read a book this week, and the author mentioned this thing, and I'm going to try to explain it. I won't be able to do as well as he did. But he mentioned in life, there are two types of people. And I'm going to step over here and grab me a tissue. In life, there are two types of people. One is a sponge, described as a sponge. And the other is called as a catalyst, okay? And I was like, well, explain that. I need to understand that better. He said, if you are a sponge, you allow your environment to form and change who you are. When the negative happens, you become negative. When fear happens, you hold on to that fear. When people come against you, you begin to come against them and bitterness. The sponge, letting the environment affect who you become. And that's always a dangerous thing to do, but how much more in this world that we live in right now? But he says, not everybody's a sponge. This is a choice. Some people are a catalyst. And I'm like, well, I need to understand what a catalyst really is. And the way he described it was this. He says, a catalyst has the ability to bring change to the environment that it's in without being changed itself. That's a powerful thing, isn't it? To be able to be a catalyst means that no matter the environment that comes against you, the situations in life that come against you, they don't change who you are. You change the environment that you're in. A catalyst is steadfast, steady through and through, and no matter what wars to form it, it does not change shape. It holds steadfast. And it's so powerful that its steadfastness changes the environment around it. So when I think about life, because we all have what? One. That's all we get, is one on this earth, and then we have our eternal destination, heaven or hell. But only one place to write the story. Don't we want to be catalysts rather than sponges? Because there's so much that's seeking to mold us into the fallen attitude of this world. And we don't have to let that happen. Because we have the ultimate catalyst living right inside us, called the Holy Ghost. You think you're going to change the Holy Spirit? Uh-uh. You ain't going to do it. Because God never what? Changes. The unchanging factor, the catalyst of God established within. That's some hope, y'all. That's a lot of light to illuminate our path. Be careful how you view your enemy. Be careful how you view your circumstances. They may be really bad. But look for God's change and God's purpose for allowing it to be really bad. I had a thought Matter of fact, this week, bad stuff when it happens, right? It's like, if I can just write it down, all that is in me right now is going to be bad, 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 bad. We all have stories, right? We all have situations that we've been through. In fact, maybe we relive them a lot. It's not a good thing. We're to move on from our past, not continue to relive the negative. But you're going to think this is really strange. But I promise you it's not. When the most horrific things visit your life, God stands up and says, okay, son, okay, daughter, this is your opportunity to apply my word and see the benefit. So, Pastor, that's like cliche. No, no. When you see God is real in hellish and difficult circumstances, what happens to your faith? It is strengthened in measures that establish it as something that will continue to live for all eternity. Don't will an easy life. An easy life makes very weak people. Don't ask for trouble, but understand trouble's going to come. And when it comes, there's opportunity to show to your faith that God didn't lie to you. Apply his word and look and see. His word works. His word works. See, the unsettled heart and mind can devastate life. Allowing the enemy and the circumstances to be that which encompasses my fear, my thoughts, my even an infatuation with how bad it is, will make me unsettled in my mind and will devastate the life that God wants me to have. We must remain calm in all situations. Because situations can get tough. But the calming presence of God is there for us. And I want to look at this next slide for a minute. The wisdom of calm. You know, when I was looking for photographs to use for representing calm, a lot of them showed bodies of water, and boats were associated with it. And it made me think of this, the boat representing our life. And this is the life in which, or the environment in which we live that life, that water. And for any sailor, anyone that's ever enjoyed boating, you wish for calm conditions. Unless you have a sailboat, you need some wind to blow to move it forward. But nobody wants to forge out into a lake or into the ocean in a hurricane or in a violent storm. Nobody does. But it happens. Even today with GPS and weather like we have, it still happens. And the thing that I see when I look at this lake, wouldn't it be nice if it was always calm? Calm, easy sailing, right? Wouldn't that be nice? But again, we would not be built into what God has called us to be built. But here's the thing I want you to envision in your mind. We know the calmness of the lake or the ocean is not always going to stay in that condition. We know that. But what can stay as smooth as glass is the spirit that lives within you. Your heart can find that calming water even when chaos and hurricanes and winds are blowing around you. Externally, the situation looks bad, but internally, there's still peace and calmness. And may that be the life that we have, not through our power, but through the power of Christ who lives in us. If we can stand to our feet this morning as we bow in prayer. And as the word of God rose up in the heart of Isaiah, there had to be a mixed feeling inside Ahaz as he heard those words to be careful, to keep calm, to don't be afraid. Yet the words flowed purely by the Spirit of God in the heart of Isaiah. And then at that point, Ahaz had to make a decision. Will I follow that authority of God, or will I trust in my will of working this thing out? And as the weeks move forward, we'll look deeper at this story. Right now, alliances are forming, possibly against you. And the wisdom of calm, the power of calm, is made clear to the steps that God has. But it's up to us to invite that power within that allows us to perceive as God perceives. Because right now, this is what I want you to do. Lord Jesus, where are my feet? Where are my thoughts? And what is my hand doing to try to deal with this storm I'm in right now? For if my feet walk upon path that seeks solution that are not of you, cancel it in the name of Jesus. If my thoughts to remedy the storm and to somehow administer a calm that is not your calm, it's me trying to work it out in my strength. Let those thoughts be exposed for what they are and allow the mind of Christ to give instruction in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And Lord Jesus, the work of my hand, may it not be wasted on futile attempts to bring a pseudo-calm. Because man will come and this is your answer. This is your answer. This is your answer. God says, no, I'm your answer. O sober mind, delight in the peace that God brings. O restful heart, delight in the reprieve that God gives. O busy feet, know that rest is required and rest has come. Walk in the wisdom of God.